Mark 10. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." I want to look at that little journey that Jesus takes, or a big journey, really, up to Jerusalem. A few weeks ago, David spoke about Bartimaeus receiving his sight, and that happens in Jericho on this route, on the journey up to Jerusalem. But I want to look at these words, particularly there in verse 32, about Jesus leading the way. And we'll come to that in a few moments' time. Let's just take a few moments to pray. I recently saw one of the many repeated episodes of Dad's Army. And it was the one, if you've seen it, where they are bequeathed a boat. And so Captain Mannering thinks to himself it would be good to get them, get all those on patrol in the boat and up, rowing up and down the river. And they do this, and it turns very foggy, and they end up out at sea, and lost at sea. And the clouds cover comes in, they can't see, they look for the North Star, they can't see it, and they just have to wait, and they're just hopeful that the boat somehow will come into shore, and they can get off and be saved. And it's humorous in the sense that when they do finally hit land, they hear French being spoken. So they presume they're in France. And obviously occupied by the Germans in the war. So they're panicking. But then, it turns out they were French Canadians celebrating in Britain. And the end of the episode, having got on a train, they pull in at a station. And it's Eastbourne that they've landed at. And a man with a bowler hat is there to welcome them. Their direction, they got lost. They didn't know which way to go. But ultimately, as I say, they discovered the way by chance more than by anything else. I wonder how good your sense of direction is. Do you know the way? One of the things about Brexit that's hard for us to swallow, if it teaches us anything, it's that you have to know where you want to go before you can find the way. If you don't know where you want to go, how difficult it is to get there. You remember Thomas? He didn't know where Jesus was going. So he argued he couldn't know the way. But Jesus told him, "I am the way." In other words, trust me, Thomas, trust me, and you'll get to where you want to be. You'll get to where I have in store for you. You know, this morning, let me say from the very outset, let me ask the question, have you trusted Jesus personally yourself to get you there, to bring you to the Father and to the place prepared for you? For Jesus is the way, the only way. But as I read these few verses together, and as I say, maybe a while since you read these verses, or perhaps you just read over them, on to the next passage. How intriguing they are. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. First of all, the facts. They were on their way up to Jerusalem. Some of us have been to Jerusalem. If you've been, it's a city on a hill. Okay? And it's a city on a hill. And many a city is built on a hill, of course, for defense purposes. So you can see the enemy's drawing near. The verse is just before Jesus heals Bartimaeus in Jericho. So that pinpoints whereabouts they are on route. The road between Jericho and Jerusalem is a very dangerous winding road. It's steep, it's dangerous, and if you remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, that's where that's set. It's liable that robbers will jump out. It's a dangerous place, a dangerous route to take. And this is where they were, on their way to Jerusalem. But it's this loaded phrase that follows, with Jesus leading the way, that caught my attention. I guess I was thinking about next week, Palm Sunday, the crowds led the way next week. But this week, it's Jesus leading the way. What does this reveal about Jesus? Well, first of all, his uniqueness. He leads the way. We use that expression still today, don't we? Leading the way. There's no one quite like him. He's unique, different, special. In front of every other, he leads the way. He's ahead of all others in wisdom, power, righteousness. He's our perfect Saviour. He leads the way. I hope he leads the way in your life. I hope he's the one you turn to. I hope he's the one you rely upon for his power. I hope he's the one who shows you what's right and you follow that way closely. But I think as well it tells us something about his resolve. This is a week, 2 weeks, or well, less than 2 weeks before he would die on the cross in Jerusalem. There at Calvary. His resolve. He leads the way to go to Jerusalem, knowing what's ahead of him. In Isaiah chapter 50, there's within those chapters, there's a number of passages that talk about the servant of the Lord. And they are prophetic. They speak of Jesus, Isaiah 53, most clearly, of course, about his sufferings on the cross. But in Isaiah 50, it talks about a flint-like determination. I have set my face like flint, says Isaiah 50, verse 7. With a hardness. Now, we don't normally think of Jesus with any sort of hardness, do we? But the most gentle, the most, you know, beautiful of character, a softness of heart. But actually, there is a resolve, there is a determination, a steely, dogged determination. I have set my face like flint to go to Jerusalem. Now, what do we know about flint? I never thought I'd be giving you a brief history of flint. But basically, anything that's left from a long time ago usually is made of flint. Axe heads, arrowheads, rocks for starting fires with a spark. It's flint. This most hard, hardy rock. Even in the days where things moved on a little bit in weaponry, flintlock pistols. You know, the flint is the hard bit that brings the spark, that brings things happen because of it. Quite interesting how the history of mankind is linked up with this. But even more so, the scriptures and what it says of flint. Because the heart is described as being like flint in Zechariah chapter 7. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the words of the Lord Almighty. We see, not just in Zechariah's day, but we live in a world with hard hearts, flint-like hearts. It says of Judah's sin in Jeremiah 17, it was engraved with a flint point. The sins of God's people chiseled away in their hearts. Such was the hardness and their resistance to what God wanted. Yet in Ezekiel chapter 3, I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint, God tells Ezekiel. So God knows the heart condition of man, but he is able to make even harder what is needed. A resolve, a resistance. He did it in the prophet Ezekiel, but he did it so much more in his Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. And so Jesus led the way to Jerusalem, resolved to go there and to lay down his life for you and for me. I mean, it speaks not just of resolve, but bravery, doesn't it? The bravery of our Lord, meeting his opponents head on. And he wanted his disciples to be prepared for what they were about to go and see and be part of. And that's why he speaks of what would happen as they go up to Jerusalem. And the key word here is again, because it says he goes up to Jerusalem, but it says again he took the 12 aside and told them what was about to happen. You can turn over a page to Mark chapter 9 and you can see there he explains to them again something of the sufferings that he is about to face. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men and they'll kill him, but after 3 days he will rise. And again he tells them, but this time he tells them a bit more. The Gentiles are going to be involved. And as we know, and we'll see in the weeks to come, the Romans did what they did in putting him on the cross. But Jesus, knowing what was ahead, did not run away, did not get an army in front of him, but he led the way, went forward with a bravery and a resolve. We don't always think about this, or I haven't done as much perhaps as I ought to. But you know, Jesus knew opposition, didn't he? In what he faced. He went around doing good, healing, restoring, making a big, big difference to communities. But even from the very beginning, in the days of his birth, there was Herod who tried to get rid of him. And then as his ministry started in the synagogue in Nazareth, they sought to get rid of him over the edge of a cliff. And then he was in that temptation in the wilderness, and the enemy again sought to undermine what he'd come to do. And all the way through Scripture, the Pharisees and Sadducees and everybody else who couldn't see just sought to try and trip him up and trap him. And in it all, from day to day, he never deflected from doing the Father's will. What a Saviour we have. What resolve, what bravery, what clear purpose drove him on to go all the way to Jerusalem. They went to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. How? Well, because of his trust, wasn't it? Because of his trust in the Father and the Father's will. I love the way that, yes, he speaks of his sufferings, but did you note at the end, 3 days later, he will rise. He's looking beyond the sufferings, looking forward to what is ahead. We know from reading elsewhere in John's Gospel particularly, Jesus knew the Father had sent him. He knew the timetable. He knew the time had come. He knew what the mission was. He knew what was going to happen to him. But it didn't make it really any easier, did it? He still had to go through it all for you and for me. But basically now the sacrifice was prepared. Passover was near. The Lamb would take away the sins of the world. What a wonderful Saviour we have. It's always good to exalt our Saviour, always good to remind ourselves of his character. But of course, the challenge is then, well, what difference does that make to you and to me? Do we have any resolve? Are we brave? Are we trusting in the same way that our Saviour trusted? for the future and for what's ahead. Be bold, be strong, we sing, for the Lord your God is with you. Trust him. He's with us to face whatever is ahead. The Lord is with us if we let Jesus lead. Lead our lives, lead us as a church. His presence is the most precious thing of all. Makes all the difference to know his presence. When he is your leader, you can trust him in the way that he leads, the way he takes you forward. He promised, didn't he? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We can go forward in faith, knowing that he's there with us in all that we go through. Well, these are the facts. Jesus went up to Jerusalem and he led the way. But I want to point out, secondly, the feelings that go along with those facts. It wasn't that Jesus was somehow, you know, pulling back a Superman shirt and going forward. Obviously, he would feel and did feel the pressure of it. Remember Gethsemane. Remember the ordeal of what he went through. But it's interesting in this little passage here that we're told the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. What an interesting mix. Astonishment and fear. But they do go together, those two, quite often, if you think about it. But first of all, think about why they were astonished. Now, I didn't read the previous verses, and there are things that Jesus says here that absolutely amazed his disciples. There was a rich man, a young rich man, who seemed to have everything going for him. But Jesus laid down a challenge that was too much for him and concludes how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words. They're thinking, God, this bloke's perfect almost. He keeps the commandments, he's rich, he's young, he's got energy, vigor. He's like, what? You're turning him down? They were amazed at what Jesus said. With man, this is impossible, says Jesus, but with God, all things are possible. Jesus says that to the disciples after they were even more amazed and asked, who then can be saved? It's not of us, is it? It's nothing that we do. It's the grace of God. Salvation is through grace. By faith, yes, but even the faith comes as a gift. It's by the grace of God. And so that amazed them. So they were amazed at Jesus' teaching. Astonished. They were also astonished at Jesus' words about eternal life. Because the disciples went on to say, well, we've left everything for you. And Jesus talked about reward for those who have given up much for him. And in the age to come, eternal life. Now, sometimes we get a bit blasé about eternal life, but it's a wonderful provision, a wonderful gift, only made possible through Jesus' sufferings, proved to us through his resurrection. So talk of eternal life at this point, before the sufferings and before the resurrection, again, just amazed them. Jesus speaking like this about eternal life and eternal rewards. But I guess most of all, what astonished them was simply the way that Jesus was just striding out to suffer. Striding out to meet face to face his opponents, making his way up to Jerusalem. Now, Jesus told his disciples about this, and that's what amazed them. The other followers didn't hear that part of the conversation. All they saw was just Jesus going up to Jerusalem. And they were just fearful. Because they were thinking, bad things happen in Jerusalem. It's the Passover, there's going to be a lot of crowds, there's going to be a lot, there's going to be a big, there's going to be trouble. And so they were just fearful. They didn't know, they didn't have all the details, but they had enough to be fearful. You know, they say, don't they, ignorance is bliss. I don't know, who first said that? It's not true spiritually, I can assure you. Spiritual ignorance is not bliss. Just to float through life hoping somehow. No, you need to nail your colours to the mast. You need to find and put your faith in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Ignorance can be very dangerous, even in life, but in spiritual matters particularly. And when there's ignorance, fear floods the mind. The what-ifs prevail. When we're not sure about this, that, or the other. Sorry, use Brexit once more. We're not sure about this. Well, what if this? What if that? You know, it is tossing and turning. Well, how much more so on spiritual matters of eternal life? About what Jesus was doing going up to Jerusalem. What's going to happen to him? Afraid or astonished? Afraid and astonished seems to sum up what was going on. I think when you follow the Lord Jesus, however long you've been doing that, there are lessons here. There are uphill struggles in following Jesus. It's not easy. I don't think it ever really has been, but it's not easy in the 21st century. As Jesus went up to Jerusalem, the crowds were all going up for the Passover. It would be busy. But often when you're following Jesus, you might be the only one in your workplace. You might be the only one on your street. You might be the only one. Dangerous. Well, it was going to be dangerous for what lay ahead for them, for sure. And again, there is a cost to following our Saviour. But those who went with him in that crowd next week would see Palm Sunday. And after that would see him on the cross. And after that would hear and see him raised from the dead because they went up to Jerusalem. If they'd have stayed where they were, miles away in Jericho, it may have passed them all by. It was life transforming to make this journey with Jesus. And it is, isn't it? The Christian life is life transforming. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Yes, dangerous, but what a difference to know our Saviour. As the hymn writer puts it, but we never can prove the delights of his love till all on the altar we lay. For the favour he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Those who will follow, those who will go on with him, those who will count the cost. The faith to follow. We've seen the facts, we've seen the feelings, but there in Jesus' words, prophetically spoken, is the fulfillment of what did indeed happen as they got to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed, and he was. They'll condemn him to death, and they did. They'll kill him, they did. But 3 days later, he will rise. He did. What does this reveal about God's love, God's purpose, God's plan in all of this? Well, it just reminds us again this morning that the way was the only way. You know, it's not being narrow-minded and bigoted. This is the only way for salvation for the whole world. If it could have been any other way, then Jesus wouldn't have had to go through what he went through for us. But he did. The price had to be paid. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. No other means, no other way of salvation. This is the way, and this is what Jesus came to do. The way was the only way. The way was clear for Jesus. I haven't got time particularly to open that out, but in trusting him, he has led us through faith to victory. In the Old Testament, God led the people into the promised land as they trusted him. When they didn't, they went round and round in circles. But when they did, they went in under Joshua. Well, under our Joshua, our Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life is our promised land, is what the Lord leads us to. The way was made for us. Hebrews talks about a new and living way. A living way, because it's personal. It's through the person of Jesus. Many of you know we have a cat at home. I know some of you have cats as well. They're interesting animals. They definitely rule the house. But there's a design. It's not a design fault. It's a good design part to a cat that I've really only just discovered most recently, and it's interesting to watch. Basically, with a cat has whiskers, and if the whiskers go through, so does the cat. That's true, isn't it? That's what it's about. If these whiskers get through here, the rest can come through as well. And that's true whatever the size of your cat. Your cat gets bigger at the back, its whiskers will get longer at the front. It's a wonderful design. Why do I tell you that? Well, this way that's been opened to us, made for us through the Lord Jesus, is a way for us to come behind. Jesus goes before and we follow on behind. Christ the first fruits, says Paul to the Corinthians. Then when he comes, those who belong to him. What the Lord goes through makes a way for us. He went through to the cross and made the way for us. And his resurrection on the third day, don't miss that this Easter, makes it the way for us and our eternal life and our resurrection to glory. All because he went through first. The whiskers go through, the rest follow on. This way has been opened for us, not just to enter in to know forgiveness, though that is wonderful, but to know the fullness of eternal life with him. Well, our time has gone this morning, but let us just draw things to a close before we come around the table by just again asking the question, are you following Jesus? Are you doing things his way, going with him? The Gospels are very clear, very good at helping us to see Jesus, to see his way, and to see as well that even those who profess to love him at times don't go his way. I think of Peter. I mean, he is a man full of commitment to his Lord, isn't he? He leaves the boats at the beginning. He leaves business. He commits everything. He's 100% in. But of course, in the weeks to come, in the days to come now, we'll see him following at a distance, denying his Lord. You can start well, but sometimes we can waver when the challenges of life come our way. Sometimes we can just hold back a little bit. Don't want to be too, fundamental. You don't want to be too, outgoing in this. People might frown at you, look at you. The world at large wants watery Christians, weak, with nothing much to say. But if we stay near, we stay close, rather than at a distance, we'll have much more to say and we'll live in such a way that demands that we are heard. We'll speak for him. So Peter's just an example of one who threw everything in and then almost nearly threw everything out. But then he was back again. Praise God for grace. Praise God for the way that Jesus restored him so that he could follow once more, but this time in the power of the Spirit. And that's what the Lord wants for us, to serve and follow in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not trying to just do it ourselves. Oh, Jesus says this, Jesus says that, so therefore I'll try. But doing it in the power of his Spirit. That's not to say that you won't find problems. Following Jesus up to Jerusalem, there were problems ahead. Those who had fears, you know, were right to have fears. There were concerns. But Jesus going ahead meets the challenge, meets the problems first. If we are following him, he leads us as we trust him. But let's remember, a car has only one steering wheel. And so if he is leading, then let him lead. Don't keep trying to take back control. He went all the way to Calvary for you and for me. We have this table prepared. And as we come to it this morning, let's come and remember how the way was opened for us in the first place to walk upon. And let's remember that the way ahead unto eternal life is the route, is the plan, is the purpose for all that Jesus went through for us. And let us trust him to bring us safely through, walking with him all the way as he leads us. Amen. Hear us, Lord, as we sing that hymn. Hear us, Lord, as we make it our prayer. We will trust you, even where we cannot trace you. Thank you that we can go forward in faith. Grant us to know the same resolve and bravery that we saw this morning in our Saviour as he went all the way to Jerusalem, to Calvary for us. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you that you are a risen Saviour, that you overcame sin and death, that you are victorious, and that as we follow you, we too, Lord, will be more than conquerors. You promise that. So bless us, Lord, as we meet around your table. For any who have to leave us, bless them, Lord, with your presence. May they continue to know your presence and peace. And may they, Lord, trust you for their tomorrows, taking every step of the way with you, you leading the way. Lead us all onwards and upwards. In Jesus' name, amen.